What's going on, guys? It is a beautiful Friday morning. What you guys hear is what you guys are going to get from this podcast. I am not going to be trimming anything. I am not going to be restarting anything. I am going to go off the top of the head. I'm going to grind and I'm going to tell you about different things that have been hitting me up, getting me motivated for the day. It could be something as simple as a song I hear by Logic or NF and or Nas or anybody like that. It could go from a podcast with David Goggins on it, another podcast by Joe Rogan, speeches, anything like that. I'm going to tell you what motivates me. If you guys didn't read the details in the podcast description, the reason I started doing this is just a few days ago, I went to go pick up some credentials at work. I got a new work ID. And with that work ID, I still have my old one. And I never really look at my old one. I never use the thing. It's never needed. But this new credential got me access to a lot of different things, which is kind of cool. But I took a look at it and I was like, man, I wonder what my old one looks at. Back, I knew I was big back in the day. I mean, I made changes way prior to even me getting this new ID. I knew I was big, but I really never knew how big. Like, visually. Like, I wasn't staring at myself in the mirror every day and be like, man, yeah, you're big. But I noticed that, like, when I started working out and I started running, I started holding myself accountable for everything that I ate, everything that I didn't do, every excuse that I made to not run that day, every excuse that I made to not lift that day. I'm holding myself accountable for that. It beats me up every day. So it's weird because it all started with actually quitting chewing. I used to be a big tobacco chewer. I started like when I was like 15 years old. I was a baseball player. That's just common. It happens with a lot of people. It can either be baseball, hockey, whatever. It doesn't matter. Somebody's always going to find something that you're going to enjoy. And chewing tobacco was my main deal. I did that since I was 15. I decided I was going to quit in the winter of 2018. I was off and on here and there, but I always kind of fell back into it. So it started with that. And I knew that when I looked at myself in the mirror and I saw myself, I was like, I'm going to quit chewing so that way I can spend more time with my kids. It was a realization that I was going to gain more weight. That happens with any person that chews tobacco. So how was I going to deal with coping with all that weight I was going to gain from not chewing? If you guys are unfamiliar with chewing tobacco, you put it in your lip after a meal. You put it in your lip after coffee, any time that you're stressed during the day. For me, I would have one in out of 24 hours of the day. I would probably have one in, I would say probably close to 18 hours. And the 18 hours up until I slept for 6 hours, probably at most, sometimes even more, I would, as soon as I woke up, I'd put one right back in. That was my routine. Brush my teeth, put one back in. You know, I thought I was healthy. I really did. I thought I was healthy when I was chewing tobacco because I didn't eat that much lunch or like breakfast in the morning, but it would be like a mid-morning breakfast kind of lunch, brunch deal. And it was just awful. And that's when I was chewing. So I just knew it was going to be more. So I quit chewing and I knew that working out was going to have to be my new addiction. It had to. Like, I needed something to take over that. Especially where I live, it's either pick up something new or else, you know, in a weird sense, you drink more alcohol. It sucks. It sucks to think that way. It's just the way it is. So I quit chewing, started working out. And honestly, you guys, in January, everybody does that, you know, New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose some weight or whatever. And then everybody kind of gets off of it after like the first few weeks, first month. Some people stick with it longer, but they just can't really hold up to it. Am I saying I'm better than everybody else? No. I found a different way of being held more accountable for the things that I was doing. I was tipping the scale before I decided to go on this whole journey of quitting chewing and dieting. I was tipping the scale at 254. I weighed myself about a month and a half to 2 months prior. To give you guys an idea of what I was at, I started work and I was weighing at 225 and I felt bulky. I felt somewhat good, but I knew I wasn't there. I was tired every day. I made excuses every day for why I was sleeping in, why I wasn't getting stuff done. And it was horrible. I felt horrible about myself. And I took it out on a lot of other people, you know, because in reality is, I mean, if you're not happy with yourself, you're not happy with anybody else. And it sounds sappy, but that's 100% the truth. It all starts with taking care of yourself first. I'm not going to lie about it. You have to take care of yourself first. So when I tipped the scales at 254, I was like, man, what happened? About a year to 2 years prior, I'm going to say about a year prior, I was working at another job and I was working shift work. So I was working 12 hours on, 8 hours off, or 8 hours on, rotating nights and days. And it was brutal. It was hard work. And I was tipping the scale right then about probably 205 to 209. Prior to that, I was back down to about 190 at a different job. But that's because I actually started lifting weights every morning at 6 a.m. And that was a huge trip for me. But I just couldn't keep it going. My body couldn't go with it anymore. I don't know why. I made excuses. Like, I took one day off. I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. And I just never got back into it. Same thing at the other job that I went to. I was doing all this manual labor, swinging sledgehammers, you know, breaking down coal, frozen coal doors from, you know, rails that came in, the big trains that came in hauling coal into the steam plant. And it was brutal, man. It was extremely brutal. And that's what my workout was. Like, that was hard manual labor. But I didn't feel content. Like, you know, I replaced that with eating junk. Because that's all you had to do. You know, when you're up at night, you have to drink a lot of coffee, drink a lot of pop, put it in a chew. And hopefully it pans out. But when I stepped on the scale in the month of January of 2018, that's when things really switched up. It was literally a social stiff arm when I looked at it, man. It was the visualization of how big I had become without knowing. It was crazy. Like, what I used to weigh, like, in the summer of 2007, I was getting ready to take off for St. Cloud State, and I was working out every day. I was running, like, and nobody will believe this, like, to this day, probably, but I was running anywhere between 6 to 10 miles a day. Like, I was young. I was, like, 163 pounds. I remember that, too. It was 163 pounds. I was completely content with that. I wasn't lifting as much weights. I was running, though, every day. Every day. I would not make an excuse not to run. I would do it. Fast forward to now. Not to this day, but to January 2018. I was not running every day. I was exhausted from mowing a lawn. You know, from push mowing a lawn for like, you know, half hour. I was exhausted moving furniture up like 2 flights of stairs. Yeah, you know, obviously. Yeah, some of that furniture was pretty brutal. It was heavy. But I mean, it's just something that I've never felt like that in my life. And I don't ever want to feel like that again. So when I decided that I was going to try to start losing weight, start working out, start running, that was my main goal, was to run first. I needed the cardio to to balance out my head. I deal with a lot of different mental issues, and I try to hold them inside a lot. But I found that running was my therapy for clearing my mind every day. You get lost in it. And it's 100% true for me that I get lost in it. And everything just goes away, putting out that maximum effort that I can. But it wasn't always like that. I can't always say that it was that easy. The first time I started running in January, I tried running a mile. I got maybe 700 meters. And I had to call it quits. I was breathing so heavy. And it was at a pace of like 5 miles an hour. It was horrible. I couldn't, like, I looked at it and I was like, are you joking me? Back in high school, I was able to run a mile in 5 minutes and 7 seconds. 5 minutes and 7 seconds. And here I am at this age. I can't run 700 meters. I barely ran 700 meters. I couldn't finish a full mile. I was exhausted. I was exhausted. And I think that was, that kept on playing back in my head because I knew what I could do. I knew what I had done. So when it came to it, when I was trying to gear up for the next runs day, I was already trying to make an excuse. I was already trying to do it. And I got to try to walk it. I was sore. I was hurting. My bones were aching. And my mind kept on telling me, just save it for tomorrow. Let me just tell you this right now. A person's mind can shut you down so quick. It feeds into your desire to not want to do something. It's telling you that it's going to be okay if you don't do something. That shouldn't be the case. Honestly, from my personal experience, when I told myself that I could save it for tomorrow, I never went and did it. Save that long run for tomorrow. You'll get it done. And then I would never get to it because something would always come up. All right, well, then I'll skip that run. I'll do a light run the next day. That light run felt great. But then you're like, all right, something came up this next day. Maybe I won't run this day. And then it never became a running day. My whole goal was to create a routine that I could not break, that I cannot break. Now, some people are like, that's way too extreme. And that's fine. I'm not doing it to tell you guys that, like I said before, my choice to do this was not easy. I did it for the sole fact that I knew what I needed for myself. I needed to get something done. I needed to feel accomplished in a sense that made me want more. Now, people discuss all sorts of things with me. Like, Bobby, maybe you should take it a little bit easy. You should try to take a time out and all this other stuff. But if I do, then I'm not getting 10% more out of myself every week. When I started running, I ran probably about 3 miles in that first week in January. That next week, I did 2. That next week following, I did another 2. And then that next week following that, I did 1. I remember that for a fact because I was dropping down so steadily. And I was not happy with myself. I was not happy with that. Look at it. I ran 3 miles my first week, 2 the next week, 2 the week after that, and then 1 to finish it off. If anything, it should have been the other way around. You guys think I'm just pulling these numbers off my head? I remember it like it was yesterday because that was the start of my journey. In February of 2018, I looked at my logs of my journal for working out, and I was like, I was so pissed at myself. I was so angry Because here I was thinking I was better at myself. Eating a little better. I wasn't eating better. I'll tell you that flat out right now. I was not eating better. I was eating the same crap, just a little less of it. And it wasn't good for you. Any of the stuff I was eating was not good for you. People are like, oh, you know, Bobby, you're probably eating pretty healthy. No, I was not. You guys want to know what my breakfast was prior to that? I would have about 5 hot ham and cheeses and 2 cheeseburgers in the morning at a gas station. That was in the morning. Every day. And then 2 Rockstar hydrations. You know what the funny thing about that was? I would always look at the calorie on the back of that Rockstar hydration, 10% juice, whatever it was, energy drink. I was like, man, there's 0 calories in here. I can drink this. So stupid. Meanwhile, I have this big handful of 4 hot ham and cheeses and 2 cheeseburgers, or 6 hot ham and cheeses and 2 cheeseburgers, and I would devour them. And here I was worried about the calories in the back of my can. How dumb is that? Oh, it still pisses me off. I thought it was helping myself. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a good run in today. You know what you get for like a good pace run at like, say, 6 miles an hour? And say doing it for about a mile. Somewhere right around the range, probably I'm going to say 130 calories. 130 calories probably. One of them hot ham and cheeses, it's got to be well in the 200s. It was brutal. In 1 year of working at a different job, I let myself go worse than I've ever let myself go. It was horrible. And you take that realization, and I decided I was going to be accountable for it. I decided I was going to be very accountable for everything that I was doing. Did it come as easy as I make it seem? No, it was not easy at all. I would fight myself on everything every day. I had to talk to myself. I had to motivate myself more and more every day. 10% more every week. And didn't start with 10%. Trust me, it was like, hey, you know, try to give a little bit more effort today. It started off like 1%. It wasn't as easy as I make it seem. It's not. And trust me, anybody who's struggling with this knows it is not easy by any means. But what has helped me out, and just recently in the past few months, what's helped me out even more, because I am not content where I'm going to be, where I'm at. I will never be content, because if I become content, that means I'm becoming complacent. If I'm complacent, that means there's nowhere else to go for me. There's no sense of achieving anymore. I want to achieve. I want the best of me to come out. I want the best me to show up. But if you want the best of you to show up, you're going to be constantly evolving in a sense. You're constantly going to be moving. You're going to be finding motivation from other things. You're going to keep on expanding that mind. You're going to keep on trying to do more is what you're going to do. That's me. That's what I want. So after the first 4 months that I was running in January, I finally was able to crack the 5 mile per hour mark. And I was running for about a mile and a half. 1,600 meters is what I would say. And I was like, oh no, I'd say about a mile and a half. I was really trying to push myself. I was really, really trying to push myself. I couldn't... I knew if I, like I said, back then, I never really even thought of it, but I wasn't content with the way I was being back then. So I kept on running more and more and more and more and more and more. To the point where I was crushing my body, I was crushing my joints and everything like that. My body was hurting. And this is where I started making excuses. I was running every day, and it would vary between, at the very beginning stages, a mile and a half to 2 miles every day. I would very seldomly take a break because I didn't want to. Like, I love running to this day. I still don't take breaks, but I had to try to listen to my body a little bit more. And what I meant by that is I wasn't stretching. I wasn't taking care of my body. I wasn't working my hips out. You know, your legs, man, all that bouncing on your knees, all that stuff is deteriorating your joints. And honestly, it's brutal. I don't think a lot of people comprehend that. But that's all it is. You know, you think that you get to one phase and you're like, it's just in a coast like that. No, there's other things that you have to keep on doing. If you think that you can just constantly keep doing one thing without other things kind of piling up on top of it, then it's never going to work out. You have to add all sorts of different factors into helping yourself out. You really do. So I started stretching a little bit more, and that started to expand everything. I felt more loose. I felt way healthier. So fast forward, after about 6 months of running about a mile and a half to 2 miles, I started running 2 to 5 miles in the first month, just because I would literally set a mile mark and I would be like, all right, today's the day, let's go. And I would drop back down that pace to 5, and I'd be stopping and dropping after a while at like probably 2.5 to 3. And it would just, I would take my breaks and I'd hop back on. How to do it. Fast forward from that, it would be about 5 to 10. So I would run 2 miles in the morning, and then I would run about another 4 to 5 miles at night. Sometimes even more. So it kept on going like that through basically the winter of 2019, which became extremely brutal. The job I have takes away a lot of hours during the wintertime. I do snow removal, so I'm getting called in at 12 a.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. To help remove snow for a university. So, you know, we're removing snow for 4 to 6 hours, and then I got to come home and take care of the snow that I have outside my house, and then try to get in and figure out what I'm going to cook for dinner, for me and my kids and my wife. And when I do that, then I try to plan out my workout, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to plan my workout in, and I'm falling asleep. My head is just dropping hard, and I know I'm going to be getting called in the next day, but then guess what? My whole mentality at that point in time was, I need to get it done. I need to do it. Otherwise, I'm not going to feel good. I'm going to wake up with a horrible sensation. Just kind of, it's going to be an overwhelming sensation in the morning that I didn't do anything. There would be times when I knew I was going to be getting called in early, that I would just, I'd set my alarm for an hour and a half earlier just to get up and run. So if I knew that I was going to be getting called in at 3, I would set my alarm for 1. But then that's when my sleeping pattern really got messed up. My sleeping pattern became so messed up. But I had to get it done. And I think in the long run is, what it ended up benefiting me this past winter is that I could not make an excuse. Yes, my sleeping pattern was messed up. Oh, yes, you need sleep for whatever. Like, yeah. But how are you going to know what you're capable of doing if you keep on putting a restriction on something like that? That was my thought. If I make an excuse for this right now, why I can't run for a day and clear my mind and make my body feel good. Healthy body, healthy mind. That's it. Why would I make an excuse? Why should I make an excuse? I put myself out there. And now, guess what, guys? I'm not chiseled by any means. I am not absolutely cut. But these are the steps I'm taking to provide myself the best me. I'm going to do it. Right now, I'm taking my steps. I'm doing it the right way. I'm trying to get myself 10% better. So when I finally figured out that I could do stuff without making an excuse, that expanded a little bit more. That helped me out a lot. A lot. Fast forward through the winter of 2019, which was absolutely brutal here in the neck of the woods that we're at. We got dumped on with snow every day. Frigid temperatures in and out every week. We would have snow that melted, and we'd have snow that came right back in. And everybody's like, oh, we have snow. We had about 2 to 3 feet of snow that would either melt one day, and then it would be like another 2 to 3 feet that would come back the next day. Where we're at, we constantly worry about floods, flooding in our area. Our rivers become backed up, and we have to worry about getting sandbagging done and all sorts of stuff. I live on the outskirts of where everything would take place, but it does not stop water from seeping into a basement, and that's what I had to do this year. We had about an 8-foot frost line, and when we had a big defrost, the water had to go somewhere, and our sub pump didn't work. And it flooded our entire basement. I was so pissed. I was so upset. And it wasn't because the basement flooded. It was because, how am I supposed to get my workout in now? Literally, that was it. So you know what I did? I actually moved my treadmill into my office, which was hardwood floor downstairs. And I actually ran there in a packed office basement area. And I continued to run. I made no excuses, made zero excuses. But at the same time, I would run, I would take care of the basement, you know, suck all the water out of the carpet, tear out the padding, pull off the baseboard trim, dry all that off, until we can get somebody in to come replace the padding. Got everything taken care of, dropped a new sub pump in. And that was another thing that I realized. Something was going on in my life that was going to try to hold me back. And I didn't let it. I went with it, man. Honestly, it's you're probably like, oh, these aren't like huge ordeals in your life, Bobby. But trust me, they're one of many things that happen. That I realize that if I can get past any of these moments, then I can get past a lot more than what people think. Now I'm gonna fast forward to now. So like I said before, back in the winter of 2018, I weighed myself about 2 months prior to January. I weighed and tipped the scale at 254. I comfortably say 254, but I also know that I very easily could have weighed more than that. I think I did that very light because my eating got heavier as the wintertime was around. And I probably added another 15 to 16 pounds on. So realistically, I was probably right around 216. And everybody's or 16 more pounds, so I was probably about like 270. Everybody's like, well, how do you come up with those figures? I weighed myself well before Thanksgiving, for one, and Christmas. So the two big holiday seasons, absolutely brutal. I knew I put on weight in those 2 months. Constantly treats all around. Everybody's like, hey, we picked up donuts, you know, at work. That's all we do is we have all these treats that come in every week. And it's, yeah, 270, man, easily. So fast forward now, I weigh in at 194, roughly. Yeah, if I really want to throw that ounce in there. I weigh 194.6 ounces or 194.6 pounds. And my goal is to just keep on losing weight. I want to be trim. Is that the end goal? No. Because when I become trim, then I want to become toned. Is that the end goal? No. Because when I become toned, I want to be bulked up after that. I have a set of different phases that I want to accomplish, and becoming trim and then tone it up and then bulk on that tone is where I'm at. Like, it's so many different phases, but at the same time, be able to maintain cardio and continue to better myself. Like David Goggins, who is the dude who I've recently just been absolutely infatuated with. I mean, this guy, his drive, his intensity can't be matched. It really can't. It's crazy. I thought I was inspiring myself a lot. But man, honestly, when I started reading up on him this past month, it's been absolutely absurd. David Goggins. If you guys don't know who David Goggins is, let me give you a little briefing on him. David Goggins, he's not just one trait, okay? He doesn't have just one occupation. Everybody's like, oh, he's a motivational speaker. That's not the case, no. He's not just a motivational speaker. This man tried out for Navy SEAL Hell Week 3 times. On the third time he passed, everybody's like, oh, wait, great. And so he's a success story. He's not just a success story. He is so much more than that. Talk about success. This man on his third attempt of the Navy SEAL Hell Week had fractures in his legs. He had a hernia. And he was dealing with a heart disease too that I don't think he even really knew about at that point in time. It was absolutely brutal. He was actually fighting, I think, pneumonia a few times too as well. This dude was a troop. Guess what he said? So you know how I say that, you know, if I can not make excuses, if I can get past something and go past the excuses, I knew I could do anything. He literally finished Hell Week with that motivating him in the back of his mind that if he can get past running with a hernia, fractures, all that stuff, he was running with a hernia belt, for God's sakes. Then that was going to be even more of a, I'm going to quote him here, a badass story. Nobody's ever doing that. That's absolutely insane. So he graduated BUDS. He was assigned to the SEAL Team 5. He served in Iraq. He also graduated from Army Ranger School. He also tried out for Delta Force. I know that twice. He didn't make it, but he said just the opportunity to go out there and try it out twice was crazy enough for him. But at the same time, another cool thing was he started off at like right around 207, 208 pounds. He was big. That's when he was in the Air Force and he couldn't swim. He conquered all his fears. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not going to give you the whole bio. David Goggins, if you guys need a little kick in the ass, listen to him. Listen to him. And you guys are going to say, oh man, he's a little bit too extreme for me. He's a little bit too rough around the edges. Listen to him. You don't have to be as intense as him. All he's asking is just a little bit more. And that's where I'm getting it now. Now I'm realizing what I wanted for myself. Before, it was just a little bit more every week. Now it's like I'm thriving on trying to be 10% more every week. He even says it in one of his speeches that I watch and I listen to while I'm running. He says, if you're doing 30 miles, do 33. If you're swimming 500 meters, swim 550. You know, he's always constantly trying to better himself. And everybody's going to be like, well, what do you mean? Like he's just fit so he can just do whatever he wants. He did the Navy SEAL, Hell Week. He did all that stuff, Army Ranger School, and he became infatuated with always trying to improve himself. So he started becoming he wanted to become an ultra marathon runner. So he tried enlisting into this Badwater race, and only so many people can get into this Badwater race. And then it's just absolutely absurd what an ultra marathon is. If you guys don't know what an ultra marathon is, it's being able to run 100 miles in 24 hours. And now people get, you know, if you're good at it, your times and stuff like that, then people will get you invited out, or you'll see if you can qualify for this Badwater marathon. So he just thought he was gonna be able to get in with all the training that he's done with the Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, and the guy said, "Well, I don't care. Basically, you have to qualify for my race. You can do all you want." So he basically said, you know, you can come, we're gonna do 100 laps around this course, but I want you to run for 24 hours. And he goes, "Okay, yeah, I can come do that." So Goggins goes on to tell the story about him running 30 and he felt fine. You know, he kept on getting better and better and better. He hit 70 and it was like a wall hit him. He felt like his body was shutting down. He was peeing blood. His body was exhausted. He kept pushing through it for 30 miles, you guys. 30 miles. Hit 70 miles and he kept on pushing for it for 30 more miles. His time, he did 101 miles in 19 hours and 6 minutes. He never even ran a marathon before. He went for the ultra marathon prior to anything else. And he got it in 19 hours and 6 minutes. You know what the funny thing was? So he completed that, and the guy said, "You were supposed to run for 24 hours. I'll call you back if we can consider you." 14 days later, Goggins had already signed up for above the Boston Marathon. 14 days later, he raced in the Boston Marathon. His body was still shut down. His body was still withered and beaten. After he ran that 100 miles, his wife had to basically carry him up a flight, or his wife at the time, his ex-wife now, had to carry him up a flight of stairs, and she put him in an ice bath. She called his mom, who is Goggins' mom, who was married to a doctor at the time. The doctor said, "You need to get him to a hospital right now." Goggins goes, "Let me sit in this pain. Let me enjoy this pain." Because he never knew his body could feel like that. Isn't that so crazy? He could not imagine his body feeling like that. And he enjoyed it because guess what? He did something. He did that. Like, I roll off that. I get so much from that. Because there is no excuse there. He did it. At 70 miles, his body was shutting down. He decided he was going to go for another 30. Now, you don't have to be that intense. You don't have to be that intense. I don't have to be that intense. But if that doesn't give you drive, if you're running, say, 2 miles, and you still have some gas in the tank, and you're going to stop at 2, and you feel like, "Man, I could have done 3. There should never be "I could have" or "I should have." You can at that moment in time. Do it. That's what I do with myself. I'm not telling you guys to go and do it. That's what I'm doing to myself. I motivate myself. There's times where I'm running on a treadmill, which I used to hate. Now I have to love it. Where I'm running on a treadmill and I get done with, like, say, a 5 or 6 mile run. It's like, "Man, I could have went for another 6. And I sit there and I deliberate with myself. I'm sitting there like talking to myself inside my mind. I'm like, "Well, get up there and do another 6 then." And I'll just kind of sit around. And next thing you know, I'll think about it. I'm like, "I'm going to do another 6 right now." So then I hop right back on and do it. There's just so much so much I can do for myself. And it starts with me. It really does. So Goggins goes on and does this. He does his Boston Marathon. His Boston Marathon time, I think he said he finished it in 3:08. 14 days after his body was absolutely beaten. After a while, he was finally led into bad water. He's done so many different ultra marathons. He's done the Las Vegas Marathon. He's done Furnace Creek. He loves ultra marathons. He loves doing the just regular marathons. He loves doing cycling. He even talks about it too. He says that I couldn't run. So he basically put on so many miles, he basically became a professional cyclist. And that's how he lost all his weight, to be actually be able to do all that stuff. Guys, the point of this is I constantly am looking for people to drive and to help me succeed, or to just get a little bit more inspiration from every day. Now, I can do it myself a lot. And I don't know if you guys are going to take anything into account with it. It'd be awesome and sweet if you did. But I'm holding myself accountable to what I know I can accomplish. And there's so many people that can go and tell me that my ways are intense or stuff like that. I'm nowhere as intense as a lot of people can be. But I think that if you become subdued in the way that you can't find more drive from yourself, then I don't think this is going to be for you. You have to be able to drive and want more. And that's fine if you guys don't get along with my theories or think of my theories. Trust me, the SEALs hate Goggins. A lot of them do, and there's a lot of them that don't. But for me, it's all about drive. It's always about initiative. It's always about finding more. All right, guys, I want to thank you for tuning in for the very first one. It was an absolute blast. I'm going to keep on doing this, I think, every month or at least every week. Hopefully, you guys can enjoy it with me. I thank you guys for stopping out. If you guys have any questions, feel free to send me one of those voice memos if you're on the Anchor app. If not, feel free to shoot me a message on my email. It's at bpstreetphotography.com or at gmail.com. And I'll be happy to answer any one of them, guys. Thank you.